Prayer is not designed to change or persuade God. It is designed by God to change us.
That's the Reverend Charles Reeb, who brings you an encouraging message of faith and hope. Today, on Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the interdenominational program featuring outstanding preachers from across America, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's preacher.
Thanks, Sherry. We're happy to welcome back again this week the Reverend Charles D. Reeb, Senior Pastor of Tuscarawas United Methodist Church in Castleberry, Florida, in the greater Orlando area. Charlie, we're glad to have you back with us.
I'm glad to be here.
You contributed the Lenten and Easter sermons for a book called Sermons on the First Readings of Cycle C, and those sermons are in your own book entitled One Heaven of a Party. I love that title. You're still a young man, but you're already developing a reputation as a good preacher. In fact, two recent Day One preachers, Will Willimon and Bill Self, wrote endorsements for your book cover. How did good preaching become important to you, and why?
Well, good preaching was a part of my call. I began to feel a call to ministry when I was just 14 years old. And a preacher took me under his wing in a church, and he noticed the gift of ministry in my life. And his preaching really formed my call. I remember distinctly sitting on the front row of the church that I received my call in. And this mentor of mine, his name was Brad Dinsmore, preaching powerful sermons about God's purpose for our lives and God's call upon our lives. And so it was preaching, very effective preaching, which called me, which ignited me, which started that fire of ministry. And so it's always been at the foundation of who I am as a minister. I know that preaching can transform. I know that preaching can change lives because it changed mine.
The past two summers, you've served as an instructor of preaching at Emory's Summer Licensing School, and you've taught in various schools and classes. What are the special challenges of teaching preaching?
Well, I've often said that teaching preaching is a difficult thing because sometimes you have to put a grade on sermons. That's the biggest challenge. And sermons don't happen in a vacuum typically. They don't happen in a classroom. They happen in the midst of the stuff of life, in the midst of a congregation, in the midst of special occasions in life. And so to evaluate a student's sermon in the midst of a classroom is difficult because the context is different and the way the sermon will be heard is different. So that's real difficult. I have a difficult time evaluating sermons in that context.
Last week, you began your series on three great wonders of the faith with your sermon, I Wonder Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And today, you will help us wrestle with another question. I wonder why my prayers go unanswered. The scripture passage that you've selected today is from the Gospel of Luke. I wonder if you'd read that for us.
Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
So Jesus responds to a simple request from a disciple, Lord, teach us to pray, and he offers what's become known as the Lord's Prayer. But how do you view this prayer? Is that all we have to pray? Is it an outline or what?
I think the most important thing we need to see out of the Lord's Prayer is it's something that God gives to us. It's something that we are asking, you know, Lord, your will be done. Give us what we need. And so I think Jesus wasn't necessarily giving us a particular prescription of say exactly this, but he was trying to change our perspective of prayer. Lord, help us want what we really need from you, not just what we want in terms of our own selfish desires.
And then Jesus goes on to give some examples and seems to indicate that if we just ask God for something, seek it, knock on God's door, we will get what we want, right?
Well, no, that's not exactly true. I think it's important to understand the nature of prayer, and I think what Jesus is driving at is that to ask and to seek and to knock, it's all about the persistence. And prayer is a persistent spiritual act that begins to form us, you know, like water going across a rock for many, many, many years. It begins to be formed and shaped, and that's what prayer does. It shapes us, so soon we begin to want what God wants. We begin to desire what God desires. So what our prayer is exactly what God wants to give us.
Well, Charlie, we look forward to another challenging message from you today. Your sermon is entitled, I Wonder Why My Prayers Go Unanswered. Thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And if you'd like a free transcript of Charlie Reeb's sermon today, call us toll-free, 1-888-411-DAY1, or visit our website at dayone.net.
Warren Wiersbe tells of the time when he was helping to paint the outside of his neighbor's home. His neighbors had a small black dog that had a ritual of going to the back door of the house to bark and bark until someone finally got the message and let him out. One day, Wiersbe was painting the outside of the house when no one was home. The neighbor's little dog, who was inside the house, took up his station at the back door and barked all day long. The sad thing, Wiersbe said, was that it never dawned in his little brain that all his barking was totally useless. No one was home to hear. Perhaps many of you feel like that dog today. You have prayed and prayed for something, and there seems to be no answer. There seems to be no one home. And maybe you have tuned in today because you have this nagging wonder why your prayers are going unanswered. Well, you are not alone. Throughout Scripture, we see instances of followers of God who cried out and did not seem to have their prayers answered. The two biggest examples were Jesus and Paul. Remember, Jesus pled for God to take this cup from me, but to no avail. And the Apostle Paul begged God to take away the thorn in his flesh, but God never did. Obviously, their prayers were not answered to their satisfaction. Again, we can receive comfort from the fact that even Jesus and Paul went through times of fervent praying for God to do something, and God not complying with their requests. We are not alone. But perhaps you are thinking, wait a second, didn't I just hear Jesus telling us that if we ask and seek and knock, we will receive an answer? Yes, that is what he said, and his words are true. But we must first understand what prayer is before we can understand the truth and power of Jesus' words. Prayer is one of the most misunderstood practices of our faith. And like the black dog mentioned earlier, until we understand the nature of prayer and how God answers prayer, all of our barking and praying for an answer will leave us frustrated. The truth is, our wondering about unanswered prayer is often a misunderstanding of what prayer is. For many, prayer is understood as an exercise in magic. There are a number of popular religious books out there that seem to support this. People often believe that if they say the right phrases or have the proper technique, they can persuade God to answer their prayers. There's an old story of a monk who was bothered by mice playing around him when he prayed. To stop it, he got a cat and kept it in his prayer room so the mice would be scared away. But he never explained to his disciples why he had the cat. So one day the monk walked down the corridors of the monastery and noticed that each of his disciples had a cat in their prayer room. After seeing the monk with a cat, they thought having a cat was the secret to powerful praying. I believe this is a parable for many Christians today. Many believe they have to do something special in order for God to hear them and have their prayers answered. So we often see folks running here and there to learn the latest prayer gimmick from self-proclaimed spiritual gurus. But prayer is not rubbing a magic lamp. It is not presenting some Santa Claus in the sky with a list of things we want. Prayer is intimate communication with our Lord. It's as natural as turning around and speaking to a friend. And then more importantly, it is being quiet and still and listening to God and being transformed by what He is communicating to us. Prayer is vital, for how can we expect to be in relationship with God if we don't communicate with God? Jesus taught us this lesson. Just read through the Gospel of Luke and you will find Jesus praying consistently at every turn in His life. He prays as He senses God's call on His life. He prays before choosing His disciples. He prays as He serves and heals other people. He prays as He feels the demands and pressures of His ministry. He prays as He faces the cross. He prays as He finishes His work on the cross. Jesus is continually praying. You could say that prayer for Him was as vital as taking His next breath. He knew that in order to live out the life God had called Him to live, He needed to be continually connected to God in prayer. God was the source of His power. It was out of His own consistent prayer life that Jesus gives us this teaching in our reading for today. The disciples notice Jesus praying all the time, and they finally get a clue and say, "Teach us to pray." They observe that prayer is a vital practice for Jesus, and they want to learn how to do it. And what follows is a profound lesson from Jesus about prayer. But it's not a lesson in right technique. It is not a lesson in right phrasing. It is not a lesson in how to persuade God. It is a lesson in persistence. Through the story of the man banging on the door all night and the repeated words, ask, seek, knock, Jesus is telling us that effective prayer is consistent prayer. Effective prayer is continual connection to God. And if you listen close at today's reading, you will also notice Jesus telling us that effective prayer is not about what we can get from God, but what we receive from God. There is a big difference. For oftentimes, what we want from God and what we receive from God are two very different things. Perhaps this changes your wondering about unanswered prayer. Maybe God has answered you and you just don't like the answer. Someone once said that God answers prayer in one of four ways. Yes, no, wait, and are you kidding? This is somewhat glib, but there is some truth to it. I recall times in my own life when I prayed and prayed for God to give me something, and my prayer was never answered, or so I thought. Later I discovered that what I wanted was not the right thing for me. That event always reminds me of the country song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayer." There have been other times, though, when God seemed to know that I was not ready for the answer to my prayer or the timing was not right, and God asked me to wait. It was then that I relied on the words of the psalmist, "Wait for the Lord." We need to keep in mind that what is implied in Jesus' words for us today is that God always answers prayer. Now, God may not give us the answer we want or answer us at the time we want, but God always answers us. And God will always answer us with our best interest at heart. Remember, Jesus said, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This is a great promise that should encourage us to pray more. But notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give you what you want when you ask for it?" He says that those who ask Him will be given the Holy Spirit. This means that when we pray, God gives us what we need. I remember playing with the pew pencils in church when I was a kid, and the pencils always had these words inscribed on them, "Prayer changes things." As I have grown in my faith, I have learned that prayer does indeed change things, but it is not God who changes. It is me. There is a wonderful old phrase that gets to the root of what I'm saying. Prayer does not give us what we want, but prayer helps us want what we need. How true that is. You see, prayer is not designed to change or persuade God. It is designed by God to change us. Prayer is a spiritual discipline through which we are formed into disciples of Jesus Christ. In his classic book, The Meaning of Prayer, the great preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick puts it this way. Some things God cannot give to a person until he or she has prepared and proved his or her spirit by persistent prayer. Such praying cleans the house, it cleanses the windows, it hangs the curtains, it sets the table, opens the door, until God says, "Lo, the house is ready. Now may the guest come in." I believe this is what Jesus is driving at in our scripture reading for today. When we ask long enough, seek hard enough, knock loud enough, and pray persistent enough, something happens on the inside of us. The discipline of prayer begins to awaken us to the Holy Spirit inside of us, and our motives and desires begin to change. It is like the persistence of our praying becomes the axe that breaks up the frozen numbness of our souls. Then the power and wisdom of God break in, and we begin to be formed by the will of God. Peter Annette once said that those who pray persistently are like sailors who have cast anchor on a rock. As they pull on the anchor, they think they are pulling the rock to themselves, but they are really pulling themselves to the rock. This is what persistent prayer does. It pulls us closer to the rock, God Almighty. And as we move closer to God in prayer, we find that we do not get what we want from God. We get something better. We get what we need. We get what God wants. We find that as we move closer to our rock, we begin to desire what God desires, so that what we ask for, knock for, and seek after becomes what God so desperately wants to give us. Then the truth of Jesus' words comes to life, so that what we pray for, we truly receive. It is a sacred surprise. Are you still wondering about your unanswered prayers? God has an answer for you. But whatever your request, know that God's answer will always involve your heart being changed by His love. Let us pray. Dear Lord, drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and the stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the pulses of desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through earthquake, wind, and fire. O still, small voice of calm. Amen.
Now let's rejoin our host Peter Wallace and Charles Reeb for some final thoughts on this week's sermon.
Charlie, you noted that prayer is one of the most misunderstood practices of the faith. It's not a magic incantation to get what we want. Rather, it's intimate communication with our living Lord. It's being quiet and listening to God. That sounds like harder work than just mumbling some memorized words. What practical suggestions could you make to help us open ourselves up to practicing that kind of prayer?
Well, first of all, I think you need to set aside time. And what I mean by that is sacred time, not just noisy time in the car, not just distracting times around the house, but set aside a place and a time that has some solitude and some quiet. We live in a noisy age, and sometimes if you just close your eyes and listen to all the noise, you can be overwhelmed by it. So I think it's important in our day and age to just set aside that quiet solitude, that time, maybe 10, 15 minutes, get a devotional you like, get some scripture readings you can follow, and keep a journal. I think keeping a prayer journal, at least for me in my own experience, has been a very effective tool.
You point out that Jesus' teaching on prayer isn't about necessarily the right techniques or proper phrasing. It's about persistence. Prayer should be continual. How does that work in our everyday life when we're at work or we're dealing with children or spending time with friends?
Well, I can tell you how it's worked for me. I was given advice a long, long time ago by a mentor of mine. who said, during your day, imagine Jesus sitting next to you in the car or sitting beside you at your desk at work, and imagine Jesus doing the work with you, participating in the work with you. And to imagine that, and then at the end of the day, begin to reflect on how Jesus was with you throughout the day and how he guided you through the process. And when you start your day, begin to think about all the activities you have to do, and then begin to reflect on how Jesus is going to be with you during those times.
And what about those prayers for global needs, poverty, hunger, war? What part does that play?
I think it's very important to have within your quiet time a specific place where you broaden yourself and you begin to pray for more than just yourself or your own immediate needs or just what's around you. I think that's another weakness in prayer lives today, is that we just stay within our own little circle and we forget all the needs of the world. And I believe we're called to pray for the needs of the world. And I think as we grow in our faith, the more the compassion and the sensitivity for that is going to come out, and we'll feel compelled to do that.
Well, Charlie, we look forward to hearing from you again next week with another Wonder of the Faith. I wonder about God's will for my life. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One brings you outstanding preachers from the United Methodist Church, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ. It's been our joy to bring you today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.